Welcome to Hope for the Broken, the audio podcast ministry of Trinity Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Texas. We exist to be a gospel-centered community redeeming brokenness through hope in Jesus Christ. At Trinity, we believe we are all broken and in need of the redeeming hope found in Jesus. This week, Pastor Tim Watson has a Thanksgiving message in which he encourages us to count our blessings, even during the hard times, because they all come from God. Here is Pastor Tim with his message entitled, 1 + 1 = Thanksgiving.
March 26, 1913, in Budapest, Hungary, a man by the name of Paul Erdos, E-R-D-O-S, was born. Who in the world is Paul Erdos? Well, he is considered by many people to be one of the greatest mathematicians of all time. And if you look at the guy, he kind of looks like a mathematician, doesn't he? With the crazy hair. He was born March the 26th, 1913. He was what we call a mathematical genius. When he was 3 years of age, he could calculate, multiply three-digit numbers in his head at age three. When he was a young boy, he would go up to random strangers and ask them, "What is your age?" And on the spot, he could calculate in his head how many seconds you had been alive on the earth based upon what your age was. As an adult, as a professor at the University of Budapest, Hungary, he practiced mathematics 19 hours a day, 7 days a week, which I'm sure his wife really appreciated him practicing math 19 hours a day, 7 days a week. It was said that he could tell you in detail all the intricacies of his 1,475 scholarly papers that he had either authored or co-authored. One of the greatest mathematicians of all time, a Hungarian by the name of Paul Erdos. 2,000 years ago, there lived another Paul, and the Paul to which I'm thinking today was not necessarily a mathematical genius. The Paul I'm referring to today was a wonderful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, a prolific church planter in the ancient Near East. He wrote about 2,000, or rather about two-thirds of our New Testament. And he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and even though he was not what we would consider a mathematical genius, he shared with them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18, a mathematical formula that all of us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to practice and ought to integrate into our lives as followers of Jesus. Let me invite you to look in your Bible this morning, your copy of God's Word, to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It's almost to the end of the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, verses 16, 17, and 18. And Paul's little mathematical equation, 1 + 1 = Thanksgiving. Paul is winding down this beautiful classic letter to the Thessalonian Christians, and as he draws his teaching to a close, he does so with short, bullet-like statements. There are many passages of Scripture in the Bible where thanks and thanksgiving and thankfulness are mentioned, but none of those passages are exactly like this passage. As 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 + 2 = 4, these verses seem to comprise a mathematical formula that 1 + 1 = Thanksgiving. Would you stand one last time in honor of God's Word as we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, to see if we can get a clearer understanding of what the Apostle Paul is saying. I'm reading this morning from the New International Version, and Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica and says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's a very short passage. Would you repeat it out loud? And let's use the passage that's on the screen. Would you say it out loud with me? Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading, the hearing of His word. Be seated at this time. Let's look at this mathematical formula by the Apostle Paul. One, be joyful always. In the language of the New Testament, this is actually a command to continually have a spirit and an attitude of joy. In other words, when Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, it's not a suggestion. It's not just a word of advice to the believers at Thessalonica. It is a command to internally possess a deep, abiding joy that only comes from an intimate, close, daily, one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the joy to which Paul is referring is a joy that rises above and it supersedes our circumstances. Let me say that again. The joy to which Paul is referring, it is an internal joy. It rises above. It supersedes our circumstances. As humans, we are naturally happy as human beings, generally speaking. We are naturally happy when our circumstances are good. When circumstances are going the way we want them to go, generally speaking, it's easier to have a measure of happiness. And this happiness is related to outward. It's related to external circumstances. In other words, when you've got good health, and you've got a good balance in your checking and your savings account, and maybe your investments are doing well, if your marriage is going okay and your kids are not off the rails and your job is going well and things are going well at school, it's easy to have a certain degree of happiness. But happiness is different than joy. Happiness is different than joy in that happiness many times is connected to, it's tied to outward external circumstances. What Paul is talking about to the believers in Thessalonica is something deeper than circumstantial happiness. It's something that bores down deeper than superficial happiness. When Paul instructs the believers at Thessalonica to be joyful always, or some of your translations say, rejoice always, he is referring to a deep, abiding joy that is not dependent upon your circumstances. The command to be joyful always is this deep, abiding joy that can only be nourished. Listen, it can only be nourished through a daily one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. It's kind of like a spring-fed water source that when the surface is dry during the drought, underneath the surface, there's a spring-fed water source that keeps everything moist and it keeps everything fresh. Some of the most joyful people I have ever known are people who have suffered and experienced the most painful circumstances you can imagine. And yet they have maintained a deep, abiding spirit of joy. You know them and I know them. There are people in your life and people in your sphere of influence, people with whom you work, who have suffered and experienced the most painful circumstances of life, and yet they still have a deep, abiding spirit of joy that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost 20 years ago, in 2007, I had a chance to go on a mission trip to Sub-Sahara, East Africa, two specific countries, Kenya and Ethiopia. And I want you to know that trip for 10 days rocked my world. I had a chance to preach and interact with people in a part of the world that I'd never been to. And I encountered people that, generally speaking, most of the people with whom we encountered lived on less than $1 a day. Living conditions that I can't even describe with words. People that wore the same set of clothes every day. Now, those of us on the mission trip, everybody in our group, they change clothes 3 or 4 times a day. I don't know what it is about us Americans. We feel like we go on a trip somewhere, we got to change clothes 3 or 4 times a day. Let me tell you, the Africans don't do that. They wear the same thing every day. Their food supply, whatever they got, they were thankful to get their food. And then I'm preaching in a Kenyan church, and I'm looking out into the audience like I'm looking at you, and there's all these kids, and I'm like, where's all the adults? It's mostly preteen kids. And the pastor, Gedahun Tasima, says, well, you don't understand, because most of these kids, their parents have died because of AIDS and HIV. He says, we've got 11 and 12-year-old kids that are raising 3 and 4-year-old brothers and sisters. Their parents have died because of the AIDS and HIV epidemic. But you know what I witnessed for those 10 days in Kenya and Ethiopia? When we got together for worship, I saw a joy in worship. I saw an exuberance in worship. And I'm sitting there thinking, they don't have a great building. They were meeting in just small buildings, just shanties. They don't have nice homes. They don't have the nice clothes. They don't have the material things. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. All they had was Jesus. All they had was Jesus. And I thought to myself, is Jesus enough? And the answer is absolutely yes. Friend, if you don't have anything else in life and you got Jesus, that's all you need. And I came back to my pastorate in Longview, and that Sunday, you're talking about a rude awakening. Pastor, it's too hot and it's too cold in the sanctuary. Someone got my parking place. The music's too loud. I don't like the songs. Why aren't you wearing a coat and a tie? I mean, all that stuff that we worry about as Western and American Christians is not on the radar of other Christians in other parts of the world. Paul is saying, in good times and in bad times, when you don't even have a shirt on your back, you can still have the joy that's deep down inside that is only produced through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the words of Jennifer Rothschild. She is a visually impaired writer. And in her book entitled Lessons I Learned in the Dark, it echoes one of the songs that we just sang. Jennifer Rothschild says in that book, Lessons I Learned in the Dark, even when it is not well with our circumstances, it can still be well with our souls. And I say amen and amen to that. First part of Paul's mathematical equation is one. He says, be joyful always. And the next part of the mathematical formula is, he says, pray continually in verse 17. Pray continually. Be joyful, 1 plus 1, pray continually. Now, does that mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're supposed to be on your knees in prayer? Is that what Paul says when he says pray without ceasing, pray continually? Is that what Paul means? Absolutely not. But what Paul is referring to is a continual, listen, a continual, regular, unceasing attitude of prayer that we are to possess all throughout the day. Let me say that again. When he says pray continually, some of your translations say pray without ceasing. Paul is referring to a continual, a regular, unceasing attitude of prayer that we are to possess all throughout the day as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means in the morning time, when we're getting ready for the day, the first thing that we do is we start off that day with an attitude of prayer. And we say, Father, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I got to get scripture in my heart first thing in the morning. Lord, today I'm starting off today. This is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I usually have so many things on my plate. I say, Lord, I've got to remember my life verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I'm going to have so much to do that I cannot do in my own strength. I've got to have you today as my strength. As we've talked about the last two Sundays, the armor of God, Lord, I know that the devil's going to fire his fiery darts, his flaming missiles, his spiritual bullets at me all day. So I got to make sure that I've got the armor of God. That's in the morning time. Well, what do you do in the afternoon? You say, Lord, as I deal with people, as I'm dealing with family, if I'm dealing with issues at work, Lord, help me to say things that build people up and not tear people down. Help me to serve people in your name this afternoon. And you got to remember scriptures like Psalm 19:14. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's praying all throughout the day. Then it gets to be evening time. You say, Lord, I commit this evening to you, even though it may be crazy at my house. Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 55, verse 17, evening, morning, noon, Lord, I will pray, and God, you shall hear my voice. How do you know if you're in a continual attitude of prayer? I'll give you some indications. Check your heart if you're continually praying all throughout the day. When someone cuts you off in traffic, and instead of lashing out, you whisper a prayer for that person. That's having a continual attitude of prayer. Now, let me just say as a sidebar, I make my living on I-30 and I-20. And let me just say to you, and I'm not going to get off on a tangent, the left lane is the passing lane if you're on the interstate, okay? Did you hear what I said? The left lane is what? The passing lane. If you're in the passing lane hanging out on your phone or I don't know what you're doing playing a game, I'm going to pray the Lord will cause you to repent of that and get over in the right lane. Some of us have to get somewhere, you know, that day. I usually get behind the little old lady that's on her way to the eye doctor. I don't know what it is, but I get behind, and Lord, I need to be prayed up at that point. When someone is rude to you and they lash out at you, do you return rudeness with rudeness, or do you respond to them gently? You see, that's what Paul means when he says, pray continually. In other words, prayer is not just something you do right before you go to bed. It's not a little prayer that you mumble right before your meal. Prayer is a lifestyle of continual, regular, unceasing communication. It's unceasing fellowship with God, the Heavenly Father, all throughout the day. Paul says in that mathematical equation, rejoice always, but pray continually. How many of us are guilty of being so busy all throughout the day, giving our time, tension, attention, and focus to so many other things that we collapse into the bed at night and we think, I really haven't spent any time talking to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we wonder why we don't have God's power and God's presence in our lives. I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish. I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me, he said. But you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly said, my child, you didn't knock. Well, I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take the time to pray. That should be our attitude. Lord, I got so much to do today. There's no way I can make it 1 minute without you today. In mathematics, 1 and 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 equals 4. In Paul's mathematical formula, he gives us this equation, 1, be joyful always, plus 1, pray continually. And he says this always equals a spirit of thanksgiving. Paul is reminding us this morning on this Sunday before the Thanksgiving holiday, if we strive to have a continual attitude of joy, couple that with a continual attitude of prayer, the end result is going to be, what does he say in verse 18? In all of our circumstances, we're going to have a constant attitude of gratitude and thankfulness to God. I want you to notice something very interesting in verse 18. Did you notice that Paul says in verse 18, give thanks in, notice the preposition, in all circumstances. Doesn't matter if you have the ESV, the NIV, even the King James says, in everything, give thanks. In all circumstances. Now, if we don't read the text carefully, we may just misread it. We may gloss over it. And we may replace, if you're not careful, I've heard people replace the preposition in with the preposition for. Paul did not say, give thanks for all circumstances. In other words, how can you be thankful for all circumstances? I don't know about you. I can't. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful for cancer. I can't say that. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful for a tragedy in my family. I can't say that. But Paul did say, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, even when our circumstances are hard and painful and difficult. He says, even in those circumstances, we can possess a spirit of thankfulness because it's in those circumstances we realize we are not alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us in those circumstances. And the great thing is we also have God's people walking with us. We're not thankful for the circumstances, but in those circumstances, we can still be thankful for the power and the presence of God in our lives. I know God's will for you this week. You say, really, you know God's will for me this week? That's a pretty bold statement. I really do, because it comes right out of our text. Have a spirit of joy this week. Even when your circumstances are not perfect, even with something related to your family, or maybe something with your Thanksgiving goes wrong, choose joy. Pray continually. Don't be so busy this week, even with Thanksgiving, that you neglect prayer. And if you will choose joy, and if you will maintain a constant attitude of prayer, the end result will be a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving to God. 1 + 1 equals thanksgiving. 1, rejoice always. + 1, pray continually. It equals a spirit of thanksgiving. Last year, an actress, some of you may or may not know the name Terry Garr. I like Terry Garr. She died last year in 2024 at the age of 79. She was in a lot of different movies. One of my favorite movies that she was in, it was back in the 70s, an old Mel Brooks movie called Young Frankenstein. She always played these ditzy characters. And she was a great actress. She died last year at the age of 79. In 1999, when she was 55 years of age, she was diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis. And she ended up in a wheelchair not that many years after being diagnosed in her 50s with MS, this horrible disease. In 2006, she suffered a brain aneurysm, and she ended up in a coma for a whole week. Well, when she came out of that coma, she had to relearn how to walk and how to talk. Her speech had to be repaired. She had to relearn how to talk, but she had such a great attitude. I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but she was quoted as saying, listen to this, after she had that debilitating aneurysm, listen to what she said. I really do count my blessings. At least I used to. She said, now I get so tired, I have a woman come in once a week and count my blessings for me. I have someone come in and count my blessings for me. You know, life's not perfect. There's tragedy. There's difficulty. But I can tell you this. There's still a lot of blessings in life. And if you're honest, and if I'm honest, there's a lot of days I've had so many blessings in my life, I probably need someone else to help me count all the ways God's been good to me. Amen? I mean, a lot of us, we're way ahead of the curve. God's been good to us. And I hope that this week in Thanksgiving that you will be so grateful for God and His many blessings that if anything, you'll just have an attitude of gratitude to say, God, You're such a good God. And that even when circumstances are not their best, you can still see the goodness and the greatness of your God.
You've been listening to Trinity Baptist Church's Hope for the Broken podcast. We pray that today's message encouraged and challenged you in your walk with Christ. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit us at trinitytx.org or reach out to us at 903-572-1959. Or you can email us at info@trinitytx.org. If you're ever in the East Texas area, join us for worship on Sundays at 9:30 or 11 a.m. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week on Hope for the Broken.